Well, whether you're growing tropicals, herbs, or maybe you're just overwintering a plant that goes back outside in the spring, you need to provide the right amount of light. And now on Garden Talk, we'll get some tips and techniques for keeping your inside plants happy with light and other things as well. Certainly, you can join in with your questions as we visit with Leslie Halleck. She is a horticulture business owner, an educator, communicator, and author, including one of her books is Gardening Under Lights, The Complete Guide for Indoor Growers. Leslie has more than 30 years of professional experience working in different segments of horticulture and a whole lot of training. As we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about growing under lights? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Leslie Halleck, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey there, Wisconsin. It's been a little bit since I got to do some good old terrestrial call-in radio, which I love. So I'm happy to be on things.
And, you know, you've spent a lot of time in this area. I think you had a master's degree, do you not, from Michigan State?
I did. You know, I lived in Syracuse. I grew up in Germany, spent my master's degree time in Michigan State. So I know what it likes to be a little chilly. You know, I know thank goodness I was doing greenhouse research at Michigan State for my master's degree. So I got to sit under my high pressure sodium lamp simulating sunlight while it was, you know, negative 18 degrees outside. So that's the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it.
Oh, man. Well, you're sort of a horticultural renaissance woman, I think. Where'd you get your love of plants?
Oh, boy. That's, you know, I think that all of us have a seed planted by a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, whomever it is that is into gardening and plants at some point in our childhood. And for some of us, that seed germinates. You know, later I was an art major in college for a couple of years. That was really my life goal. But my mother had always gardened. And growing up in Germany, we lived in small villages. I'm an army brat, but we never lived on post or base. We always lived out on what we call the economy. And I would always seek out, because I didn't have relatives close, I didn't have a grandma, I would seek out the ladies in the villages or wherever we lived who were kind of on their own, and they puttered out in their gardens. They gardened, and I would just start showing up at their houses. And, you know, and so they, you know, conscripted me into gardening service. So between my mom gardening and me, you know, being a nuisance to all the neighbor ladies who, you know, just figured they'd put me to work in their garden, you know, that seed germinated and kicked in for me in college. So at about 19, I changed my major to botany and immediately went and found a small independent garden center on the edge of my college town called the Green Fiddler, which is a great name. And I walked in and I said, hey, I'm a botany major. I want to work here. And the owner was a woman, Carol Watson. And she said, okay, see those plants over there? Grab a hose and start watering. And that was the beginning of my professional horticulture career. True story. So, short story, but short.
A great story. Jeff in Door County already has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, good afternoon, you guys. I've got a couple of peace lilies. They're quite large, probably 3 feet tall, 4.5, 5 feet around. And they're a couple of 3 years old, and they're no longer flowering. And I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong. They look healthy otherwise.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just that, you know, flowering plants have certain environmental conditions that are conducive for them to flower. And flowering takes a lot of energy. So in the winter, obviously, natural light levels are, you know, about half the intensity that we get in the summer. And day lengths are much shorter. The photo period is shorter. So once you bring plants inside, you know, the humidity is very low in the winter. None of these conditions are conducive to blooming. So if your plants are inside over the winter, chances are they're not getting enough light to really produce enough energy via photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is going to slow down. And so the energy that plant has to make very expensive things like flowers and seeds is limited. Fertilizer can't substitute light. So fertilizing them isn't necessarily going to help that. Generally speaking, once day lengths start to get a little longer, light quantity increases, which you could provide supplementally via grow lights. So if your goal is to really get those spaths to bloom again, you're going to have to provide more food, right, in form of light, so that plant has enough calories, right, to make enough energy to make those flowers.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us at talk@WPR.org. Maybe before we take some more questions, tell us about your business, Halleck Horticulture.
Halleck Horticultural. Horticulture, that's a mouthful, right? And when I tell somebody I'm a horticulturist, you know, a lot of people haven't even heard that word. So I have a long, varied career in the industry, from plant ecology research, public gardens, landscape design and maintenance, spent many years in garden center retail. I love garden center retail. And about 12, 13 years ago, I said, you know, I know how to do a lot of these things. I know how to run these businesses profitably. So I'm going to outsource myself. So I took my business, Halleck Horticultural, full time. I have a few different ways I work. Obviously, I write books and teach for hobbyists, gardening and plant hobbyists, and professionals learning to grow their skills. So I teach horticulture courses through UCLA Extension and in other venues, write books for the public. And then on the back end, have worked for many years with horticulture green industry businesses. So I help them with business development, communications, marketing, growing their businesses. These days, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of career transitioners and entrepreneurs looking to grow their business in the horticulture industry. So I keep one foot in the garden. I do horticulture consulting, and I teach enthusiasts about plants and gardening, and my other foot is in your business. So it's helping people run business in a nutshell.
That's pretty cool. Well, let's get into more about growing plants inside.
Sure.
What should you know before you bring a plant home?
Well, I think in the context of a conversation about light, one of the things you really need to take into consideration is when you bring a plant home, it's automatically going to be going into a place with much less light quantity and probably intensity than under which it was grown. So that's a big shift when people, and this is, you know, this could be the opposite sometimes for the garden. Sometimes if you're putting a plant outside in the garden, you know, in a really hot location, you know, it might be getting more light. But generally when we're talking about the indoor garden, people tend to struggle when they bring that plant home. And then that first few weeks, it starts to look a little bit more peaked, and they're not sure what they're doing wrong. And again, it's not that you're necessarily doing anything wrong. It's that that plant was getting ideal light conditions, right? It was getting enough energy to photosynthesize and make the food, essentially, that it needs to thrive, bring it inside where light levels are exponentially lower, regardless of what your eyeballs think is the truth. And we can talk a little bit about that, but that's usually not the truth. You have a way less light in your house. Generally speaking, inside your home, you're going to have much, much less light than you would even a shady spot out in your yard. You're going to get a lot more light out in that shady spot than outside than you are in your home. So generally speaking, you want to make sure that you are not bringing home plants that need full sun, high light, you know, heavy bloomers into a home with no supplemental lighting, because generally that's a recipe for decline. And that's why so many people fail with succulents and cacti inside. Generally, folks think, oh, I overwatered it and killed it. You're not overwatering it, you're underlighting it. If the plant had enough light quantity and intensity, then that same amount of water wouldn't kill it. It's when there's not enough light there and you water it, that plant can't photosynthesize and utilize it, so it sits and rots.
How do you tell? I mean, I can think back to light meters that photographers have used. I mean, how do you know if you've got enough light for your plants?
Yeah, most people, obviously, eyeballs gauge brightness. And a light meter for photography that measures lumens or lux also is measuring brightness to the human eye. Well, plants don't have eyeballs. That's not how plants perceive or use light. Plants harvest photons of light, right? And they absorb that in through their leaves and in the cells. And so basically, I equate it to a rain cloud and raindrops. Light photons are like the raindrops, right? They can be dense, they can be sparse, there can be a lot at once, or it can be thinned out. And that's your light intensity and light quantity. So it's a numeric function, right? It's a quantity function of light versus what you perceive as brightness. And oftentimes the eyeball perceives green light as more bright than the other colors of light, whereas red and blue spectrums of light are bigger drivers of photosynthesis in plants. So what you perceive as a bright location in your home really is, I'm going to say that's a low light location. So lux meters or photography meters or the meters that are on an iPhone, they can give you a general idea of brightness for your space. But if you really want to nerd out and measure actual light quantity that plants can use, that's when you go to something called a quantum flux meter. It makes me really popular at parties, let me tell you. So quantum flux meters can actually sense the units, the numbers of light photons that are hitting that space in a square meter. So if you want to get really technical about it, yes, you can actually measure the amount of light your plant is actually getting or not getting. But that takes a more sensitive sensor that measures in the right units, and that's a quantum flux meter. But those lux meters or lumens meters or the meters you can use on your phone will at least give you an idea of whether you have a bright, not so bright, or not bright at all location. And that can help be a good guide for you.
How much do one of those quantum plus meters cost?
So the least expensive quality quantum flux meter that I can recommend is about $300, and that's InnoQuest. The ones I use are generally $500-$600 and up. So unless you're a professional, you're generally not going to be using those. But if you're doing interior scaping or you're doing houseplant care for people, then that meter is going to be super helpful for you. If you have a greenhouse, if you grow a lot of plants at home, you grow a lot of transplants for your garden, then yeah, that might make sense. But if you just have some houseplants, then there's meters on your phone that measure in lux and will convert that and will just tell you general ideas of brightness.
Holly in Ogama in Price County, Wisconsin, has a question. Let's go there. Holly, hello. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I've had a Hoya for years, and I think it's been transplanted into a bigger pot once. The bottom leaves always get yellow and look horrible, but where the tendrils go up underneath my window, they're bright green, and I get lots of blooms. What am I doing wrong?
So it sounds to me like the lower part of the plant is not getting as much light as the top part of the plant or the ends of your stems. Is that correct?
Well, it's in a south window.
Well, so but remember that we're talking about light photons, and the further you get away from the direct light source, so say your pot is sitting just below that window ledge. The top part of your plant is benefiting from a lot more light than the bottom part of the plant. It could be shaded out by the other leaves that are further up the plant. So it's very common for plants to shed lower leaves if not as much light is penetrating down to those lower leaves. Those leaves then become inefficient at photosynthesis, so the plant sheds them. So when you don't have even light distribution, right, down that plant, you often lose lower leaves. Sometimes yellowing and losing lower leaves can be a water management issue, say if the Hoya was staying a little too wet. But if the top of the plant is growing and blooming and you're losing lower leaves, then it's probably natural shedding due to the base of that plant not getting quite as much light as the top of the plant. That's pretty common.
Holly, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Leslie Halleck, our guest today. The book that we've been kind of talking about is Gardening Under Lights, the complete guide for indoor growers, taking your indoor plant questions today. The number 800-642-1234, email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Leslie Halleck, our guest today on Garden Talk, her book, she has many books, Gardening Under Lights, the one we've kind of zeroed in on, Gardening Under Lights, the complete guide for indoor growers. Give a call with your questions, 800-642-1234, email to talk@wpr.org. Got an email from Jordan. He's trying to germinate native perennial plants in his basement. He's in southern Wisconsin. He's building a DIY grow rack with LED lights. He's got 4,500K and 6,500K LED lights mixed with the blue diodes. His understanding is that blue is good for vegetation. What about a light that should be targeted for these seedlings in maybe PPF or PPFD measurements?
Sure. So sounds like he's on the way, on the way to doing this correctly. So generally speaking, yes, blue light tends to favor vegetative growth, the blue light spectrum. It keeps plants denser. It keeps internet length shorter, so plants don't get leggy. Red light tends to trigger a flowering response, an elongation response. We also call this a shade avoidance response. And so what you don't want to do when you're starting seedlings is work with lights that are really red heavy. And that may be down below that 4,500 Kelvin range. And so the 4,500 to 6,500 is good. Usually when I'm starting seedlings, I like to go a little bluer. So I like to be up around that, more in that 6,000 over 5,000 Kelvin, which is really a color temperature rating, so cooler or warmer. And that will help your seedlings not elongate too much. Generally, seedlings in that first 2 to 5 week period need a PPFD, or photosynthetic photon flux density. That means the intensity of light hitting those leaves, of about 200 to 300 micromoles per meter squared. And it sounds like Jordan knows kind of what we're talking about, so he'll be able to figure that out. With a DLI of around 15 moles per meter squared per day for those first few weeks. And that may be accomplished by running those particular, I don't know if they're 40, 45 watt LED bars, running those for, you know, around 16 hours a day. I have calculations to figure out how to do that in my book, Gardening Under Lights. So, and I also have a bunch of stuff on my blog. I can send you some links for if you want to offer those to your listeners. But Jordan probably should stick to the cooler spectrum whilst in that earlier germination growing period. Once you are potting up those plants to bigger pots, you could go down to the 4,500 or the 5,000 range, and that would be fine. But I'd stick to the cooler spectrum, 200, 300 micromoles per meter square for PPFD, a DLI target of 15 moles per meter squared per day. And I think Jordan will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and probably most people don't know what you and Jordan were talking about there. But, you know, I bought a plant, I bring it home.
Yep.
I want to put an LED light on it maybe.
Sure.
What, you know, where do you kind of start on that?
Yeah, most folks are going to be in the situation where they buy a houseplant, right? They have a few houseplants, and clearly light is not, intense or abundant enough to keep those plants happy. Generally speaking, there are some good spotlight LEDs. So this is where we get into the lower wattage, 20 to 40 spotlight LEDs. There are some nicer ones that come in really nice cases that are integrated that you can buy. A GE makes a really good 36 watt, I believe, grow bulb that comes in warm and cool spectrum. You can plug those directly into a house lamp or a spotlight. And depending on how close that spotlight is or how high it is, you'll get more intense light if it's closer with a smaller footprint. So maybe you want to have that pepper plant inside, right, that you brought in from the garden and want to keep alive, or, you know, just general house plants or succulents. If you raise that light up, you're going to get less intense light, a bigger footprint. So, you know, if you have medium light plants, that's great. If you have succulents and high light plants, you want that light closer for more intense light. So you play with the distance of that spotlight, and then you play with how long you run it. For general house plants, you know, you may just really need to run that grow lamp for an extra 3 or 4 hours a day to extend the day length and get that extra quantity of light. You'll just have to experiment with that in your own home. But those spotlight LEDs in that 20 to 40 watt range are generally adequate for most people's needs when you're just trying to keep some houseplants happy, right, in that dark corner of your house.
My lime tree, Limey, I had sort of a tree lamp with three sections going up and down and so I had grow lights in all of those of the type you were just mentioning, and it worked pretty well. Because I got
those work pretty well.
I got light all the way down, up and down the tree that way.
Yeah, and that's the trick, is that sometimes with the spotlights, you're getting that light all in the top canopy of the plant, And then you can start to lose lower leaves because those that light's not penetrating as far down. So, you know, using the light stands that have several fixtures on it, right? High level, medium, and then lower, allow you to, if you're going to keep a citrus plant inside, they need a lot of light. So one, 20, 30 watt grow light isn't going to do it. You got to ramp that up.
Is it important to turn the lights off at night?
Yeah, you don't really want to run your grow lights 24 hours. In fact, most plants will get to a point of kind of capacity limitation, a saturation point where they really can't use any more light. And then they're going to be respirating, using resources more than they're able to replace that with photosynthesis. So there's some crops like peppers that you can actually get away with growing under 24 hours of light without losing productivity. But most plants, you're going to be fine with a photo period from anywhere from, 12 hours to 16 hours. So it just depends on what you're growing. If you have houseplants and it's bright, if you've got light in your house most of the day, but in winter, it's getting dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock, then you turn your grow lights on at the end of the day and run them for 3-4 hours to get your plants enough light. So no, you don't want to leave them on 24 hours a day. You want to use a little timer, and that helps you not forget, especially with your seedlings.
Leslie, tell us about, you mentioned your blog. Tell us about your blog and how we can get to it. We can put a link up on our site too, but talk about it a bit.
Yeah, everything is on my website, lesliehallick.com, LesLiehallick. And there's a blog tab on there, and I've probably got, probably 17 years worth of blogging. There's some old school stuff on there, and I've deleted a lot of it that was old, but I have topics on there. I mean, that range anything from outdoor to indoor gardening. And I have some posts. There's a search box down at the bottom of my website. You can search grow lights. I have a really great comprehensive post, 10 steps to growing tiny tomatoes indoors year round. So if you just search micro tomatoes or grow tomatoes indoors, there's lots of good posts that give you the kind of light information I was giving Jordan. So feel free to use the search box at lesliehallick.com, and you can find lots of different gardening info.
And maybe tell us a little bit about your work as a UCLA Extension instructor in the Horton Gardening program there.
Yeah, so, when the pandemic hit, many educational institutions were looking at how to take their education, right, and their classes online because we had to. So UCLA contacted me in 2020 and said, hey, we need somebody to develop and teach courses on indoor plants, indoor maintenance. So that was my first course with them in 2020, as I built a really comprehensive indoor plants care and maintenance. So if you want to take a deep dive into like real light science and really how to do all of this inside, especially if you have a desire to maybe do that professionally, my indoor plants course is great for that. I also teach a botany course, for gardeners. So that's a really great in-depth course if you're looking to really learn about how plants work. And this last fall, I debuted 2 horticulture business courses. So I have the business of horticulture, which I run in the spring and fall, and it really teaches you all about the industry. If you're looking to transfer into the industry or start a business. And then currently I'm teaching my follow-up course about the business of selling plants. So, plant shops, garden centers, if this is a dream of yours, I really teach you how to do this profitably. So again, I'm going to teach you the horticulture, and then I'm going to teach you how to run your business.
That sounds great. Yep. Can anybody sign up for these?
Yeah, they are. Oh, the great thing about it is that they're really professional level classes, but hobbyists are welcome. It's open registration. So just look up UCLA Extension Horticulture. You'll find the program and all the courses. And yes, anybody can register. And I have the great thing about it being online is I have students from all over. I have some students right now from Canada. I think I have a student from Wisconsin. I get students from Europe. So no matter where you are, you can join any of my courses through UCLA Extension.
Boy, this has been a lot of fun. I'm sorry we're out of time, Leslie. Would you be willing to come back and be with us again?
Sure. I know, people have tons of houseplant questions, and it can be really complicated and frustrating sometimes. So, yeah, I'm happy to come back and help.
Leslie, thank you. So, and your site again is?
LeslieHallick.com.
LeslieHalleck.com. Thank you so much. I look forward to another visit. Thank you. Leslie Halleck, our guest. Great to have her with us on Garden Talk, and great to have you listening in. This and all of our shows are a team effort, of course. We had three topics we dealt with today, so kept our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, busy today. And we've got a couple of other busy people, too. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, and a couple of busy technical directors as well, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, who was on the board today. Great to have them as well. And thank you for listening. And stay with us. Lots more in stir here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller.